This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Lisa Dizzuti. Lisa is the president of Market Connections, Inc. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Mark. Good morning.
And good morning
to you. Thanks for having us.
Hey, my pleasure. You may or may not actually know this, but you are one of only three people to have made it into all three of my books.
I did not know that.
You, Lynn Bateman, and Dendy Young. The middle book, the Epiphany book, Why Epiphanies Never Occurred to Couch Potato is you know, simply about people who've influenced my life, and you've certainly been an influence in my life. The other two, Government Marketing Best Practices and Selling to the Government, you're in there because I use your research, and this is why I brought that point up. I use your research a lot. I use it in my books. I use it for my clients. I use it in my blogs. I use it in my articles. I certainly use it in my speeches. Your research focuses in on exactly what I do, which is how Fed's information graze for products and services in the federal market.
Mm-hmm.
And you happen to have something coming up. What might that be?
We do. It is our fourth annual federal media and marketing study. It is going to be on Thursday, April 12th at 8 a.m. at the Tysons Corner Marriott, and we'll be giving an overview of the findings as well as a demonstration of the online tool, and I'll be happy to share a little bit more about that with your listeners this morning.
Okay, great. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about your background in this market and market connections. You and I met let's just say a while ago.
Many years ago.
When you were the marketing director and director of research, I believe, at GTSI.
Yes. Yeah. I wore a lot of different hats in my years at GTSI, and that is where you and I met. And after leaving GTSI, I started Market Connections, and we are celebrating our 16th anniversary this year. Hard to believe. The years go by very quickly. We are in a lot of acronyms in here. We are a provider of custom research for B2B, B2G, G2C, so business-to-business organizations, business-to-government organizations, and government-to-consumer is something that we also do. And the research that we're providing is custom. It's 90% of it, Mark, as you know, is custom. Research solutions that enable organizations to make informed, intelligent decisions. And that research that we're providing is helping them drive significant and measurable improvements. We do have a couple of times a year, two or three, what we call off-the-shelf or syndicated studies, and they are very specific to the federal market. And one of those is the Federal Media and Marketing Study. And as I said, we are celebrating our 16th anniversary this year. People, folks around here on the team are threatening that we're going to have a Sweet 16 party. So if we do, I'll let you know. But, you know, over those years, we've really served a wide variety of organizations serving the public sector, not just federal, state and local governments as well, focusing on information technology, communications. We've done a lot of work in the education space as well as healthcare. Our website, www.marketconnectionsinc.com, has got a lot of great content. It's a very content-rich site. We just redid the website last year. It's now searchable. So if your listeners are looking to learn more about the trends and issues influencing the federal space and other segments of the public sector, there's a great library of reports, case studies, all downloadable on the site.
I haven't used that.
Yeah, it's neat. I'm excited about the search tool.
I rely on rumor and innuendo from your staff. They usually point me at neat stuff. So now I'll have to go back and do the search. You also have a newsletter, yes?
We do. We have a newsletter that comes out every month and electronic. It's all archived on the site, of course. We do have a blog that we have been poking at for the last year and a half or so. We actually are going to be launching a new blog a little bit in the next couple of months. And I can tell you a little bit more about that later if we have time.
Okay. I have looked at the blog before, so I'm happy to hear there's going to be a new one. I'm hoping, I have the blog too, but like you guys, I'm not the daily or weekly blogger. I am the issue blogger. When I have something that's bothering me or something I need to talk about, that's when I go to my blog.
Yeah. We're going to try and put a little bit more resource and time, as do your listeners, I'm sure. Any social media effort takes time and energy. So we're going to try and put a little bit more focus on the blog over the next 12 to 18 months. We've hired an editor-in-chief for the blog, so there'll be more frequent postings. We're going to be doing interviews with industry leaders and thought leaders, both on the contractor side as well as the agency side, posting that on the blog. So I think that it'll be much more rich than it has been in the past.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the interviewing the thought leader side, because there's a lot of issues you touch on where there's people out there with areas of expertise. But let's I want to take a quick aside here. You don't use all the social media that your reports talk about. I don't use all the social media that your reports talk about, because you have to focus in as a contractor. You have to focus in on the things you actually can do and the things that are going to bring you probably results sooner rather than later.
Right, right.
So,
And we're not a top 100 government contractor. We are a smaller organization, mm-hmm. and we do have limited resources, as I know a lot of organizations do. Even the larger government contractors and federal agencies, they have limited staff that they can devote to social media. And I've always been a big believer, whether it's social media or anything else, don't bite off more than you can chew. You and I have talked about this over the years in terms of companies that are going after the federal market. Don't use the shotgun approach and go after every agency. Pick a few that you can serve well. And the same thing applies for us in social media. We've chosen a few activities, a few tools, and we try to do them well rather than trying to do everything mediocre at best.
Right. You mentioned something, and I want to wrap up this segment with that. Recently, and it's been relatively recently, you've actually started doing work for the government.
Yeah. In terms of the 16 years, relatively recently, probably started 3 to 4 years ago doing some subcontracting work for federal agencies. And 2 years ago, we got our GSA schedule. So we have done work with GSA, Department of Education. We have an IDIQ with education. So we have 5 agencies and really probably 3 that we put the most focus on and try to serve them well, rather than going after. We don't try and boil the ocean, which you've heard me say before.
Right, yeah. Yeah, every now and again I try to boil the ocean, but only to piss everybody off. you got to get something started, right?
Absolutely.
And that's one of my roles.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So I don't do it to drive traffic to me necessarily. I do it to get an idea out there and to get things moving.
Yeah.
And I do it because it's fun.
Absolutely. So. It's sort of the disruptive tactic, right? To
exactly.
Get people talking. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And it doesn't hurt.
It's viable. That's a viable strategy.
It doesn't hurt to keep my name involved that way on occasion, not frequently anymore, but certainly on occasion. All right. So Market Connection 16. So if you have a party, you got to invite Molly Ringwald. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
There you go. So, and I'm sure she'll come.
Hopefully.
Sure
she could be our keynote.
I'm sure she reads your research. And I'm looking forward to that. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. When we come back after this commercial, Lisa and I are going to start talking about prior research and back after these.
Are you looking for tips to improve performance, retain talent, and enable mission success? Join the discussion on employee engagement strategies with John Palguda, Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service, and David Dye, Director in the Federal Human Capital Practice at Deloitte. Tune in with host Jay Norris on Deloitte's Fed Central program Thursday, April 5th and on April 19th at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
You know, choosing how you listen to radio is important. If you don't visit HDRadio.com, you won't learn about the new local HD2, HD3 radio stations. If you don't hear the new local HD2, HD3 stations, you won't hear everything you should. If you don't hear everything you should, you won't understand what your friends are talking about. To understand what your friends are talking about, visit HDRadio.com to learn about HD radio receivers like the Pioneer DEH44 HD. Now only $120 at Walmart.
What is the U.S. Coast Guard's strategic direction? How will steadying the service make the U.S. Coast Guard ready for today and prepared for tomorrow? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with Admiral Robert Papp, Commandant of the United States Coast Guard, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, host Deborah Roth will be joined by Eileen Yarnoff from Booz Allen Hamilton and Charles DeSanto from the Department of Veterans Affairs to talk about mobile security issues in the government.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Pissarro as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Gero Formulas.
How do law enforcement agencies find the witness in the crowd, foil threats to national security, and promote safety? Join senior leaders from DHS, DOJ, the FBI, CBP, and DOI at AFSEA Bethesda's Law Enforcement IT Day, April 18th at the Bethesda North Marriott, as they discuss how technology will advance the mission. AFSEA Bethesda thanks premier sponsors Accenture, CSC, DRC, General Dynamics, InfoZen, L3 Stratus, Lockheed Martin, and SAIC. Register at AFSEABethesda.org/LEIT Day.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Lisa DeZutti. Lisa is the president of Market Connections, Inc. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. Lisa, this is the fourth year for the study. So give us a little background on number one, why you started this study, other than several people in the market saying, hey, Lisa, do the study. And the kinds of information that have come along from it.
Yeah, did start it 4 years ago, and the idea was born out of clients continuing to ask for this type of information. So it was born out of a need. What they didn't have was a single independent source or resource that tracked media usage habits of federal decision makers. So single and independent were are the two key words there. They had information coming from the different media properties, which they, you know, you'd have to comb through all of that, and it wasn't an independent source. So that's really why we started the study 4 years ago.
And everything we had prior to that was anecdotal.
Yes, absolutely. And it focused in the beginning, you know, when we first started 4 years ago, on more traditional media, I would say, print publication readership, websites, e-newsletters. Over the years, we have added quite a bit to the study. The study has grown more and more popular. We have more and more users of the tool every year. And we try to go back to users as well as out into the community as a whole to find out, what can we do to keep it fresh? What else would they like to see added? You know, you've attended our events that we have every year. We often get great ideas and feedback from the audience at that event. So that's what we use to add, and we have added over the years. Now, we have to swap things out because, you know, this thing is about 20 minutes long already for people to complete, which is asking a lot. So we can't include everything. But we did the second year add a, as you may recall, a social media question. It was not, we didn't have a lot of questions around social media, but we asked, I think, one or two. And back then, social media usage, what was that, 2009 or 2010, I think, was in the single digits with federal decision makers. It was less than 5%. And we have just, it's been amazing and interesting from my perspective as a researcher to see that grow almost, you know, exponentially over the last couple of years. I think this year we've seen that level out, and we have a separate social media study that did a really deep dive last year, which is separate and apart from the general media study.
Right, but I'm waiting for the second one of those too, believe me.
Yes, we can talk about that too. That one actually won't be coming until a little bit later this year, early in 2013, but it's been really phenomenal to watch the growth there. And I think we all are sort of at this point familiar with the social tools that are being used. We want to take a little bit of a different take on that second social media deep dive, and we want to understand how are federal decision makers applying them, what are they specifically, what are they being used for, and what kind of return are they seeing on that level of effort. So that will be later this year or early 2013.
When you can get to it.
Yes. Back to the media and marketing study. So we have added over the years. We added, at 1 year, we added a question around events and what particular events are being attended. This year, we added questions. I think last year, we really expanded what we were asking around social media. So we got a lot of more detail there. We added TV 1 year, because, you know, we have sort of a survey within a survey on this study. So it's a nationwide study, but we also ask particular questions of the Washington metropolitan area audience. So we ask about radio listenership here in the Washington area, and we added a question 1 year around TV viewership. This year, the couple of new additions, probably the biggest one was around mobile. And mobile usage. So that, I think, the audience will be interested in, because that's such a hot area. So April 12th, we're going to go into detail around what some of these media usage habits are. As we've said, it is our fourth annual study. We did target senior-level decision makers. So we'll have not only their usage, but we'll also have a lot of demographics around job function, purchasing habits, agency that they're with, age. And the theme this year is reaching federal decision makers in all the right places. I still see too many organizations trying to reach federal decision makers in the wrong place, with the wrong message. So I still hear about marketing dollars going into the Wall Street Journal. In this day, with the economy where it is, with federal budgets being what they are, and what the government contracting community is facing, there never was a lot of margin for error. there's even less of that today. The precious dollars that are being spent have to be spent in the right place, targeting the right people with the right message, and this tool will help organizations do that. We were very excited this year. We had over 3,700 respondents this year.
I saw that, and that's a huge spike from previous years,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was. It's grown every year.
Mm-hmm.
I think similar to what we see, we do a lot of customer satisfaction studies in this market.
Right.
And for companies that have and organizations that do customer satisfaction on a regular basis, we see response rates go up over time. And I think we're seeing a similar phenomenon here. People recognize the study. They know what it is. They participated before, or if they haven't, they've heard about it. And so we have more, a greater willingness to be a part of this study and the results that are being shared with the market. But it is the largest response rate that we've had in the 4 years that we've been doing the study. I think last year we were at 3,100. This year at 3,700. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a 20% bump in respondents. But, it's interesting, in your customer sat surveys, I hope they're popular, because one of the job titles I've seen on the rise this past year or so is that client relationship customer manager job title.
Yeah.
So, I know that the that particular aspect of business is growing, and in a tight economy, you've got to satisfy those customers and make sure. I mean, look what happened at TriWest with the TRICARE thing. A company that predicates its entire business on one contract, and they lose to United, and it's a $20 billion gig.
It's scary, and it happens. And unfortunately, we get a lot of clients that way when they have been surprised by losing a recompete. And I just wish that they had come to us sooner. But we do an awful, not to digress, but just for a moment, we do an awful lot of that kind of work in this space. And because of that, we've been able to build up an industry benchmark for the federal market. So government contractors can compare their results to their peers and their competitors to see how are they faring on a number of factors. We've always had four benchmark data points. This year we have rolled out eight new benchmarks around customer satisfaction. So the other really, I think, cool thing about that kind of data is what we are finding with the work that we're doing for clients is that they are able to directly correlate their customer satisfaction results to their win rates. So they are able to predict, based on their customer sat scores, their likelihood to win on a recompete. So that's been a very valuable tool for our clients as well.
You should talk to the people at APMP and do a session on that at their annual conference. I think that's in October. Association
I'll make a note of that, and we will do that, absolutely. Yeah. But back to the study, I did want to tell folks, because I love this tool. This federal media marketing study is not our typical off-the-shelf study that we do, because it's not a report that you can download at the website. It is an interactive tool. When you purchase the study, you get a log on.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much data, especially with 3,700 responses. It's so much data at your fingertips. And so it's a dynamic, interactive tool. It allows marketers and communications outreach folks to go online, and they can select job title, products that are being purchased, webs, and cross-tab that. Cross-tab is a technical term, but you can find out. If someone is purchasing cybersecurity solutions, what websites are they going to?
Okay.
What trade shows are they attending?
Hold that thought, and let's take a dive into that on the next segment.
Very good.
Okay. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. When we come back, we are taking a deeper dive into that. Back after these messages.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
How can we determine which armed aerial scout helicopter is best for the U.S. warfighter? By proving it in competition. EADS North America is ready to prove that our AAS-72X is superior to any other armed aerial scout helicopter out there. So let the competition begin. Saying you're the best isn't good enough for our warfighters. You need to prove it. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Disabled American Veterans is dedicated to one single purpose: building better lives for America's disabled veterans. May 18th through the 20th, in the company of the vintage B-25 Mitchell Bomber, DAV brings its message of support for veterans to the Joint Base Andrews Air Show. In its modern-day mission with DAV, the B-25 serves as a reminder of the sacrifices veterans make for freedom. Meet the DAV flight team with the B-25 at the Joint Base Andrews Air Show.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
My advice to you, until they upgrade the system, simply turn off PhotoStream on your iPhone the next time you're in Vegas, and then it doesn't go anywhere.
Okay.
Or else, change your Vegas behavior, or else, don't take pictures while you're in Vegas. So now, once you've deleted all the photos in the PhotoStream, you've got to then go to the camera roll and delete those individuals.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Inova Fairfax Hospital for Children is Northern Virginia's only children's hospital, providing extra special care for our region's littlest patients. Each day, they help premature babies thrive, cure the tiniest of hearts, and beat childhood cancers. Help Inova heal our region's children. Join the Inova Fairfax Hospital for Children at the Star Kid 8K on April 22nd. Proceeds support Inova's pediatric heart programs. To learn more and register, go to inova.org/8K.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly one in three children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Those golf balls you slice into the water could stay there for hundreds of years, but a new ball made from an unlikely source could make your game greener. Most lobster shells get tossed in landfills, but David Nevant, an engineering professor at the University of Maine, found a way of getting them back in the water. Put them in golf balls.
The approach we took was to take the lobster shell and to grind it up into a powder and then bind that powder together with a biodegradable polymer and use that in the core.
That's coated with another eco-friendly material. Nevant says it's indistinguishable from a traditional ball and could be used, for example, on cruise ship driving ranges.
In a period of a week or 2 weeks or so, the entire ball breaks down and releases the lobster shell back into the ocean.
With some tweaking of the lobster core formula, Nevant thinks the ball's performance can be golf course ready, and then maybe you won't be quite as steamed when your ball strays into the water. More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Lisa Dizzuti. Lisa is the president of Market Connections, and again, you can find them, information on the study, information on the briefing that's coming up April 12th at marketconnectionsinc.com. Lisa, tell us a little more about the tool, please.
Yeah, the tool is very cool. I love it because there's so much information at your fingertips. So if I'm trying to reach decision makers who are purchasing cybersecurity solutions, I can go into the tool. I can look at those individuals by a certain GS level. I can isolate those that are in particular defense agencies. I can find out what publications they're reading, what radio stations they listen to, what websites they visit, and that can help me and other organizations with their media placement. So they can target what websites they want to put a banner ad on. If they're doing print, they can see what print publications are going to give them the greatest return on their investment. Also on the print side, based on readership, where do you want to put your press relations and outreach? So there are a lot of different ways that you can use the tool and use it real time, 24/7 whenever you need it.
You know, the just the press side, a lot of people are sort of poo-pooing traditional PR, getting media interviews, et cetera. Again, it's a matter of where you get quoted. And if it's a true industry publication, if people are reading it online or still, you know, I'm sure you'll touch on this too. Are people reading the hard copy or are they reading the e-version?
We will touch on it. And it was, I think, a key takeaway this year, Mark, is around the continued strength of two traditional marketing media, print publications and conferences and trade shows.
Bingo. Well,
so
yeah.
I agree with your point of two things. Print is not dead. and being interviewed, for print publications is still a very viable strategy.
It is, being interviewed on air in the right publication. I get interviewed in a lot of different publications, and sometimes I get feedback from the market, and sometimes people just go, "What the heck are you doing over in that magazine?" At least I saw it, but
no, and we get the same thing too. We've had probably more press coverage in the last 12 months than we've had in the history of the company, and people comment on it. People are still reading printed publications.
There you go.
But I do have a couple of data points on that. Happy to to share with folks.
You want to do them now?
Yeah, I can. Why don't we go ahead and dive into some of the specifics?
Okay, do it.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I wanted to give listeners a little bit of a background on some of the demographics so that they understand who we talk to. We did, have over 3,700 people respond. They were a very educated audience. 45% of them hold a master's degree or higher. And that's pretty similar to what we've seen last year and some previous years. This year was a little bit more of a senior group of people, a little bit older audience. We had 44%. Were 55 years and older, followed by 38% in the 45 to 54 age category. I think a little bit interesting, and I hypothesize that, especially in that 55 and older group, given what's happening in the economy, that people are deferring retirement. They're slowing that down. They're staying on the job a little bit longer. So, again, I don't have any hard data behind it, but that's one of the things that we've kind of bumped around here in the office. Older generation, clearly embracing new technology, and you still see when you look at the differences, you do still see social media being used, higher among the younger federal employees, but there's definitely increases in usage via the older portion of the sample. Particularly around smartphones and using Facebook. And we'll go into a little bit more detail on that at the event on April 12th in terms of how that breaks down by age and by agency. We did find, as we find in other studies that we do, that this audience, federal audience, represents every phase of the acquisition process. They are involved in multiple phases of the process. So if you're interacting with these individuals, you need to make sure you are interacting with them also at every phase of the acquisition process, not just the beginning, middle, or end. So you need to have a strategy that's addressing that. We had a good mix in terms of job function this year. We usually do. And we had a good mix in terms of products and service categories that are represented in terms of what they're involved in, with the top category being computer systems and hardware. So let's go. Let's move away from some of the demographics. That was just a little bit of a setup. Let's go into the details. Traditional media. We'll start with that. And we talked about this last year, and it's still true. And this is the comment that I made earlier. Federal decision makers prefer to access printed news, and print is not dead. We are seeing a slow shift away from reading trade publications in print. But the decrease over last year is small. And we had 40% preferring the printed publication in 2011, 35% preferring to look at trade publications in print this year. So a little bit of a drop. The folks that reported preferring a combination of both print and online stayed about the same at 28%. And then we had another 12% that said they want a combination of print, online, and mobile. So, again, still have a lot of ties to the printed publication. We still hear about that in the focus groups and in-depth interviews that we're doing with federal employees. So that's more on the anecdotal side. But they do talk about people are still riding the metro. They're still getting on airplanes. They like to oftentimes take a break from technology, and they enjoy the printed publication. That's a lot of the feedback that we're getting.
When I fly or take the train, that's, when I grab all of the magazines that I haven't been able to read and I take them with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And as do a lot of people, and I do the same. So the sky is still not falling for print publications. Do publications need to continue to diversify what they're offering in terms of both print and online versions? Absolutely. But I think there is still room in the mix for both. Mm-hmm. And it's not an inconsequential investment to be in a printed publication as an advertiser. So, again, you need to make sure that you're in the right publication with the right frequency and the right message. And one of the things we do is help our clients who are using print and other mediums understand what the return on that investment is. Are they moving the needle? Are they changing perceptions? Are they increasing awareness? We had one client recently with a study that we did. We were able to show them that they increased their awareness by 10% year over year. And that was significant for them in many ways, not the least of which was defending the marketing budget.
Yeah, well, that's been a biggie, especially in this economy. I see a number, especially the larger companies, paring back on their internal marketing staffs. Hopefully that means they'll be more reliant on you and me.
Right.
But I just don't like to see the marketing staffs get the axe first.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, back after these messages.
What is the power of Ingenuity? It's helping save lives and property with accurate weather tracking and prediction. It's generating geospatial images for military and commercial customers. It's getting information in the hands of people who need it around the world as fast as possible. And it all comes from ITT Excellus, the nation's trusted remote sensing leader for half a century. Visit exelisinc.com. That's exelisinc.com. Excellus, the power of ingenuity.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
What is the U.S. Coast Guard's strategic direction? How will steadying the service make the U.S. Coast Guard ready for today and prepared for tomorrow? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with Admiral Robert Papp, Commandant of the United States Coast Guard, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
To the obstetricians that brought us into this world, and the pediatricians who gave us the chance to grow up strong, to the cardiologists who really get our blood flowing, and the orthopedists who mend us when we're broken, to the ophthalmologists who help us put things in perspective, the neurologists and psychiatrists who genuinely care about how we think and feel, and the dermatologists whose expertise is more than skin deep, the rheumatologists who keep us limber for a lifetime, to the urologists, nephrologists, and gastroenterologists who tirelessly try to keep our bodies running clean, to all of the 16,658 primary care doctors, specialists, and other ologists at Kaiser Permanente who truly care about delivering high-quality, affordable healthcare services to their patients and communities, we salute you. Kaiser Permanente. May we all live long and thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Registration is now open for the all-new ACT-IAC Management of Change Conference, featuring interactive sessions around cloud, mobility, and security in a future technology expo June 3rd through 5th at the Hyatt Regency, Cambridge, Maryland. This government industry training forum is hosted by the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council. Register and learn more at actgov.org/managementofchange. That's actgov.org/managementofchange.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My name is Mark Amtower. My guest is Lisa DiZzuti of Market Connections. We're discussing the annual Federal Media and Marketing Study. There'll be a briefing on this April 12th at the Marriott in Tyson's Corner. You can find out about that and the study at marketconnectionsinc.com. Lisa, let's hit on a few more findings. Start with TV and radio, please.
Yeah, could I just go back real quick, Mark, because I know we finished up talking about print. I did want to mention, because I know folks are interested in it, the top federal publications that are being read, Federal Times, Government Executive, top of the list in terms of general publications this year. If you drill down and look at it by technology, Federal Computer Week, GCN, top in the list. So we'll have more on that at the event in a couple of weeks, but I did want to give your listeners the benefit of that. TV. Again, this was done just for the D.C. metro area. Viewership, CNN, top list, 53% noting watching CNN. That was followed by WRC Channel 4 at 48% and followed by Fox News at 43%. Now, we do see when you do a drill down on CIV versus DOD, civilian versus defense decision makers, you do see a little bit of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Civilians tend to gravitate to CNN. Defense respondents tend to gravitate more to Fox News. On the radio side, no, I don't think any big surprise for anyone. WTOP has been and still is at the top of the list for radio listenership.
But higher.
Higher, significantly higher, which I know they'll be pleased to hear about. 44% last year, 57% this year.
And that's not a paid advertisement. They are our parent here in D.C. They were three floors below the glass-enclosed nurse center where we're recording this.
Absolutely. And then that was followed by Wash, I guess it's Wash FM 97.1 at 31%. So we did look at radio station websites this year, and WTOPnews.com was also at the top of the list at 35%. Now, looking at other websites just quickly in general, CNN.com tops the list, followed by FoxNews.com and then Weather.com. We got a little bit of a chuckle. You know, last year Weather.com was at the top of the list, but I think because we had a mild winter this year, it didn't pop up quite as high as it has in years past.
Right. And it's not actually a news site.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you want to jump on into social media?
I want to, yeah. The major topics you touch on here are traditional media, websites, social media, mobile, blogs, and events. But what I'd like to do is focus on just a couple because we don't have that much time. So dive into social media, please.
Yeah, very good. We, as you know, asked about our first social media question a number of years ago, and as we've talked about, had just seen a significant increase over the years in the usage of social media in the federal government. It was interesting this year. We saw a big jump in LinkedIn in terms of tools being used. It, in fact, showed the biggest jump this year. It went up to 35% usage this year from 18% last year. So clearly, LinkedIn is beginning to take off and be a key tool for federal decision makers. Did not see the same kind of jump for Facebook. And I think what we're seeing, as we have in prior years, but we're seeing a clearer delineation of LinkedIn for professional use and Facebook for personal use. Majority of respondents on LinkedIn are using it for both personal and work, and 23% using it just for work. I'm guessing, I don't know, that those that are using it personally, maybe for job searches, networking, for job opportunities. So as LinkedIn usage has increased, the professional use of Facebook has decreased. So personal use of Facebook is up significantly year over year, 49% last year for personal use, 68% this year for personal use. Professional use of Facebook is down over last year. So we'll have some slides on that. I know it's difficult when you're listening for me to throw all those percentages out, but we'll have some slides on that at the event on April 12th. But I think you may have some comments on LinkedIn, but personally here at the office, our use of LinkedIn has increased, and I think we've probably all seen it in terms of invitations that we've received, but it definitely is supported by what we're seeing in the federal space. Usage is up.
Well, you know that I'm a huge advocate of LinkedIn and have been for a long time.
Yeah.
So we'll leave that at that. Let's move on to mobile.
Yeah. We started asking about mobile last year. We tried to do a little bit deeper dive on it this year. Mobile usage device for accessing news and email is up this year. 40% access news compared to 30% last year. Email access using a mobile device is up significantly also this year from 50% in 2011 to 65% this year. More than half, nearly 60%, are using smartphones, and almost a third, 31%, are using tablets. For work email, BlackBerry is still king at 30%, and iPhones and Androids dominate personal email usage at 36%. iPhones and Androids, probably no surprise, are also most often used for accessing news websites. That was at 27%, followed by tablets at 21%. It's been, again, anecdotally, it's been really interesting at the meetings that I attend and conferences that I attend. You see tablets all over the place. when I go to meetings with federal agencies, there's generally two devices, the work-issued device and then the personal device, which is generally an iPhone. So anecdotally, that's all been interesting to watch as well. And I thought when we first started looking at this data, the 58% use of smartphones, to me that seemed a little low. I just think in my own sphere of people and the folks here at the office, I don't know, except for my mother maybe, I don't know of anyone that doesn't have a smartphone.
Yeah.
But when you look at the other research, which we have, Pew Research is an example, they did a survey of the general adult population last summer, and only 35% of the general adult population had a smartphone. So it's not that number is not insignificant, that 58%.
Okay. What about mobile sites?
Mobile sites. CNN.com top the list at 20%, followed by Fox News at 15% in terms of folks that are visiting. Again, we did see a difference, and we'll talk more about it at the event. Civilian respondents versus defense respondents. Civilians tend to visit CNN.com more. Defense respondents tending to visit FoxNews.com more. Interesting to me was USA Today came in third on that list of mobile sites. It's not a site that I visit, but I don't use a lot of mobile apps. And what I've been told by folks, colleagues, is that USA Today has one of the best mobile apps. So I don't know if you've checked it out, but it might be something worth looking at. And I'm sure that's probably driving their results in this study.
Yep.
And Go ahead.
You mentioned the word event, and I don't want to pass this up because we only have a couple minutes left.
Yep.
There is a significant part of this study that deals with events, and the study is being presented at an event.
Yeah.
So briefly touch on that, please.
Yeah. We asked a question around trade shows, conferences, virtual trade shows. More than half of federal decision makers are still attending trade shows. We also saw this year a significant increase in webinar attendance from 14% last year to 26% this year. I think webinars used to be just many of them technical in nature. We've seen them evolve so much. There's a webinar for almost anything anymore. I think that's part of what's driving increased webinar attendance. Virtual trade shows did not score well, not drawing a large crowd. Only 9% are attending virtual trade shows. So that was a new question this year. We did also ask about blogs this year, and we can tell we can go into that a little bit more at the event on the 12th.
Come to the event April 12th at the Marriott in Tysons Corner. You can find out about the event at marketconnectionsinc.com. Find out about the event, the study, and as Lisa mentioned earlier, just use the search engine there. Stick in your topic of choice and see what they have on it. There's a wonderful amount of information there. And again, I've been using Market Connections information literally since they started 16 years ago.
And email me. I'm curious for feedback on the search engine.
Email
if
address?
Folks are using it. My email is Lisa D, as in David, at marketconnectionsinc.com.
Bingo. Lisa, thank you very much for joining me today. And don't forget to visit the website at marketconnectionsinc.com. And if you are interested, our first Government Market Master Seminars at Capital College start April 28th. The information currently is in the Government Market Master group at LinkedIn and will soon be at the Capital College site at capital-college.edu/GMM. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off Center. Lisa, thanks for coming.
Thank you very much, Mark. It's always a pleasure.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.